Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Royce Talks Radio. Royce Gomez is co-author of Discover Your Destiny, Live Your Dreams, Love Your Life. Follow Royce on Twitter at Royce Gomez.
Welcome to this episode of Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory, where we celebrate champions in life and business. Although your story may not be like that of my guest, each guest on Thrive has gone from adversity to victory and living a life of passion and purpose. I am confident that each of you out there can take something and apply it to your life and hear encouragement for your endurance journey. Hi, I'm your host, Royce Gomez, author of 3 books, including international bestseller, Discover Your Destiny, Live Your Dreams, Love Your Life. And I am thrilled to have my guest on the show today. Mary Dimitri is the CEO of Dimitri Global, a company known for an ethical approach to business, and it has thrived for more than 65 years. Mary went from being a young single mother to running her family's diverse portfolio of real estate holdings. And today, she is diversifying those holdings into other sectors. In her spare time, Mary advocates for underprivileged children and supports a Central Florida nonprofit called Second Chance Wildlife Sanctuary. And Mary, I am so thrilled to have you on. I've been trying to connect with you forever, and several of our mutual friends have told me that I have to share your story because it will impact everyone that's listening. So welcome, Mary. Mary, we may need a minute to get Mary on the show. We're having technical difficulties. So let me thank one of my sponsors while she tries to chime in. My first sponsor is Pivot Business Consulting. If you've ever seen smart entrepreneurial leaders grow a business and plateau because the workplace that was once smooth is now disorganized through that growth, Pivot Business Consulting helps entrepreneurs turned executives get order and structure to their internal operations. They help pinpoint problems and craft and implement solutions to help pivot from being startups into stable growing companies. As a result, they quickly reduce overhead expenses, improve efficiency, and set the stage for long-term sustainable growth. Call Pivot Business Consulting at 321-422-2166 and mention you heard about them on Thrive, A Woman's Journey to Victory, for a free consultation. Now I'm going to try to welcome Mary. Mary, are you able to hear me? Mary, are you able to hear me? Hello, Mary. I'm going to go ahead and thank another sponsor while we are waiting on Mary to call back in. And Maria Allen is a midlife coach. She had played small for decades until she realized she could not breathe and was withering away. When you live a life without passion and purpose, she found out that that's exactly what happens. Little by little, you become invisible and slowly die inside. So Maria Allen finally found herself as she experienced midlife. She had a chance to reclaim her life and put down the shoulds that were enabling everyone else. She began to obtain her master's degree and start a very successful coaching business. You can find Maria Allen and connect with her for a free 45-minute consultation if you go to mariaallen.com. I am hoping that we have our guest here. Good afternoon. Thanks for calling Thrive. Mary?
Hello. Yes?
Hello? Is this Mary?
Hi, Royce. How are you?
Good.
Hello?
How are you?
Hi.
We have to thank technology sometimes. Well, the
yes.
good news
Hello.
Is by not being able to get you on initially, I was able to go ahead and do my sponsor commercials, so there won't be any time put aside from your story. And I am thrilled to have you on because we've had several mutual connections say that I have to share your story with others. So thanks for taking time out of your day to be a part of us.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Royce.
Welcome.
How are you? Hello.
Good. So,
do you want me?
I don't know.
Yes,
were you able
ahead.
To hear the introduction?
I think so. A little bit. I heard most of it. Yes.
Okay. So that people can relate and know that you did not just become this global CEO with multiple real estate holdings, and you did not start at that level, but you actually had to overcome some adversity and personal challenges. Can you share a little bit about your story before you rise to the level of CEO?
Well, I was a little girl. I was told that I would be helping with the family business. I really didn't have a choice on what I wanted to do, and it just has turned out very well. I was basically told that we need you, and this is something that my father said this is something he really wanted to train me in. So as a little girl, I was taken to job sites and pretty much stayed with him on everything that he was doing. And then when I went away to school, I said, I really want to sing, I want to dance, I want to act. And he said, you're not going to be doing that. You know, there's other things to be doing in life than just doing that. You can always join a theater later, you know, after you learn the business. So I basically went to business school, had a wonderful experience at the University of Alabama, and came into the workplace right out of college. And it was a male-dominated industry at the time in real estate. So also being the daughter, you know, in the real estate world of men, you know, basically it was, wow, what is she doing in these meetings? What is she doing here? But, you know, it was a great chance for me to learn. And I did have some wonderful people along the way, you know, helping and teaching me. So I wouldn't call it adversity because I was really, really given the opportunity to do something I later found out that I could do. And, you know, we don't always in life get to pick what we want to do. But then sometimes if we're obedient and just listen and try to learn, we grow into really what it is we are supposed to be doing, you know, as I say, our vocation in life. So that's really how I got started. I was basically asked, and not really even asked, told I was going to be doing the family business.
Now, the point that you made about being open to learning and growing into what you're supposed to do is so important for those entering their professional careers. Do you find yourself mentoring young men or women with that same lesson that your dad taught you?
Well, I think what I've been doing lately is just telling them, I've been working it with some wonderful, wonderful I guess you would call them millennials that are just bright and on point with purposeful in their life. And I basically say, you know, you've really got to learn what you think your vocation in life is. It's not always what you think it's going to be. It's something that you have a talent in. So trying to decide what you're trying to learn what your talent is a big sometimes hard for people to learn. You know, there's one thing they want to do, and then there's something that they're really good at. So trying to find out what the difference is sometimes it's quite a journey to figure that out.
It is, but I think you're right. Millennials are super bright, and I've had the chance to mentor them at Rollins College and through Junior Achievement and other places, and I could not agree with you more. Now, what are a couple of the challenges that you had in business? I mean, obviously, you moved right into a successful family business, which not everyone has the opportunity to do, but it's not all roses, even when you're already in a successful business. So what were a couple of the challenges that you faced that you can share some lessons?
Well, going into a family business, there were a lot of cousins and basically, like I said, a male-dominated business. And I was given the opportunity as a female to come into that business. And, you know, some of the challenges were working with my father. I mean, he was tough, hard on me, basically. I mean, his way of teaching at that time was criticizing, you know. So that was hard for me to try to understand who he was, but I think he prepared me so well. I mean, he's been gone for 11 years, and I realized I was prepared, but it was tough working for those out there that have a family business. That's not the easiest thing. People think, well, that's, you know, something's just handed to you, but if you don't survive in it and you're not doing well in it, then you know, it's really not something you should be doing. But he and I were enough alike, I think, that we argued a lot. But there was, and someone once said to me, there's safety in the arguing, you know, because if he was someone you felt like you could argue with, you knew that he had that unconditional love for you. And so that, for me, was a gift when someone told me that. And it was challenging, you know, being young and going into some of these high-level meetings, and he basically wanted me to just listen, and I had ideas, and I had things that I wanted to say, and he really just wanted me to listen to what he wanted to do, and then go do what I tell you to do, and I did a lot of that. I'm not saying that I didn't, but I had a lot of my own ideas, so that's when the challenge would come in, because he wouldn't necessarily agree with me, and it was tough, you know? I mean, family businesses aren't easy. But there were a lot of wonderful men along the way. It was a male-dominated world, but there were a lot of wonderful men that saw sometimes how hard he was working with me, very tough, and, you know, would take me aside and talk to me. And it's just, you have to be open. You really have to be open to those that have gone before and listen to what they're saying. And like I said, again, if it's not something that you feel that is your vocation in life, that where you're using your talents, that I would say that to everybody, that you know, you have to learn what your talents are and be okay working in that talent, even if it's not something that you necessarily want to do, because that's when you're your highest and best. I think we're all given talents. You know, that's something we're born with. I mean, we really are gifted with that. And it's just learning what they are and then perfecting them. And I think it would save a lot of people time if they could realize what that is. In other words, as someone said to me, the right seat on the right bus. And I'm learning, it's just still a learning curve. And when I'm working with people,
I think that's advice.
Mm-hmm. When I'm working with
Sorry
people, I say the
I
same
just
thing.
Want to echo.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Mary. You say the same
thing. Yes. So what I was saying was, as you move, it's an ego thing too. You know, you have to get past the ego of wanting to be, you know, having one set thing that you think you want to do, like I wanted to be in acting, you know, and then another with, well, is that where your talent really is, you know, and trying to decide that, and then put aside that part of the ego. I mean, I remember my father saying, we really need you to sit up at the front desk. You can learn more sitting there as a receptionist. That's the first pathway into the organization. You see everything that's going on. You see everybody that's walking through the door. Well, of course, when I came in, someone already had that job. And I said, what are you going to do? Are you going to fire, her name was Betty. I said, are you going to fire Betty so that I can sit there? I said, I really don't want to do that. I said, start me at the next level. But I, you know, looking back, I can see his wisdom, because He said, you'll learn everything, you'll learn more about what's going on around here than you know. And, you know, I had an ego. I mean, I just got out of business school. I'm not going to sit at the front desk. But it wouldn't have been a bad thing for the first year.
Yeah, I think those are some important lessons that everyone can take and learn from is to be willing to start at the bottom or in a place where you can learn and set your own agenda aside and to follow your talents that we're all gifted in. So thank you for that advice. Now, Mary, I want to go into a little bit of your personal side because one of our mutual friends had said that you had faced challenges there, and I think all of our listeners can relate. And you got into your dad's business at a very young age, as you alluded to a couple of times. So share how, you know, starting a family and business coincided and then how they collided and what challenges you went through on a more personal side, if you would.
Well, I'd been working in the business a long time, and I had not really planned on starting a family. I wanted to start a family. I was so focused on the business, though, I kept thinking that it'll happen, and then I got pregnant. I wasn't married, and I got pregnant, and I'd been in the pro-life movement for years, and I never thought, well, what happens if that happens to me? I mean, I'm in the pro-life movement, telling people to keep their children, keep their babies, and what if it happened to me? I didn't plan it, but it happened, and it's been the best thing in my life. So that came along right in the middle of, you know, just a booming business, and I took time to raise her, but at the same time, I focused on the business, so I really put my child first, and I put enterprise first, kind of put myself behind both of those things. That wasn't easy, you know, looking back. Finally have my child raised and in college and can focus a little bit on myself now. But it can be done, and it was a blessing. It was just such a blessing because I look back and I think I wouldn't have had her, you know. I was busy doing other things and got pregnant and got blessed. You know, and it's doable. I mean, I would challenge everyone. It's doable, and you don't know it at the time, and you just think, wow, what is going on in my life? When you think you have control, you know, it's when you think you have control that you don't, and it's putting yourself behind something bigger than you. You know, something the enterprise is bigger than me. The child is bigger than me. I think all of us mothers know that. And it's every day taking a step, you know, putting yourself behind that. And, you know, until it happens to you, you don't realize how strong you are. You know, you don't realize how strong you are and how well you can rise to that challenge.
I think that's so important to realize because many mothers find themselves in that place of climbing the career ladder, being a mother, and putting self last. And you were about to make another point, and I would like you to also expound on some tips that can help mothers take that forward.
Well, listen, nobody raises a child by themselves. I mean, I was a single mom, and I saw a TV commercial one time that had a woman on the television and children around her. And it had a world. There was a globe, and it said, "How much does the world weigh?" And then behind it was, "Ask a single mother." That's how much the world weighs. Ask a single mom. And that resonated with me. And people would say, well, you had all the resources that you possibly could have. How could that be difficult? It's very difficult. That was not an easy, I said, boy, do I relate to that, you know. So I'm trying to remember what was the question, Roy? What was your question?
Well, thank you for that picture. No, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I hope you enjoy the UNS version of this for our listeners, because it's so powerful just to bring out and touch on what's said. And I think that it makes it so authentic, and your story is raw and vulnerable.
Oh, you were asking
when you
what advice would I give. Right. What advice? Get help. I mean, nobody works and raises a child. First of all, you can't raise a child 24/7 by yourself. You know, you can't. I mean, if it's the next, if you know, I had little, 12-year-old, precious neighbor in my neighborhood that would come over and just play with her. You know, when I was trying to get work done, or I mean, in the evenings or on Saturdays or whatever. And it's not. You don't have to have all the money in the world to get help. And there's a lot of working women out there that are single and with children, and you can't feel guilty about asking for help. You know, I mean, there's so many mm-hmm. people out there wanting to help. I was amazed at the human race, really, when I was because I really did have the business. My father said to me, you have to do this. I need you, you know, and I depend on you, and I can trust you, and you have to do this. And I remember I had first had a child, and I was nursing and everything, and he called, and he goes, where are you? You know, and I'd been up all night, you know, taking care of the baby and this stuff, and where are you? Well, get help, you know, get some help. So there's help for me. I mean, I found that there was help everywhere, with or without resources. People, humankind, people helping other people. It was amazing to me. It was really a wonderful time in my life. It was a learning time for me, too, just a really growth time for me. But I also want to bring in the word obedience. And I felt like I was obedient to the calling of the family that was calling me to help. And also I felt like I was obedient to the creator of the universe. You know, I was obedient to him. He asked me to have a child. And so the word I learned a lot, I think, through the years about that word obedience. Because sometimes, you know, we think that that's a bad word. It's not a bad word. Eventually, that kind of obedience, if it's something that's good, obedience to something good, an obedience to a higher calling, ultimately, that's what's going to bring you the peace.
Thank you for sharing that. Now, Mary, you had mentioned that people are so willing to help, and I know that you are a great philanthropist, and you have some causes close to your heart. So as we close out the last 3 or 4 minutes here, I want to give you a chance to plug some of those causes that you are so passionate about and how you got involved and why you are passionate. You mentioned the underprivileged children and then the wildlife sanctuary. Would you share a little bit about why you're passionate with those causes?
Well, the most vulnerable, right? I mean, the most vulnerable mm-hmm. in our society. I think we're all drawn to that, but you really have to listen to where it is that you're supposed to be in that cause, because not everything's, we can't take on everything. We have to really pray, I think, pray about what's in our domain and what it is we're supposed to be taking care of. Voices that can't speak for themselves. And really my father had started a foundation for those with learning disabilities and learning challenges in the name of my older brother, who had some issues after birth. He's legally blind, and so my father's calling really was you know, you have to help those with disabilities. And then he got involved with Voice Town, which was helping, you know, building campuses for underprivileged kids and kids at risk. And then I've had a calling for the most vulnerable in all our society, those that have not been born. You know, I had a calling for the unborn. And then the animals. And then animals just have always been a part of my life. And I had occasion to connect with a person that had started a wildlife sanctuary, Jim Bronzo. And I'd watched his passion for animals. And, you know, we really bonded over birds that were on the sidewalk, you know, 6-7 years ago, and where to take that bird at 9 o'clock at night. And then I realized that he had all kinds of animals out at a sanctuary that he had. And so our foundation that had really started for the disabled and expanded it for those at-risk kids, and for animals and for the disabilities, and in the pro-life movement, you know, mothers that don't feel like they have anywhere to go when there's a pregnancy that they don't feel is wanted, so to speak. So it's really those that can't speak for themselves. You know, there's just so many wonderful organizations out there, and we have to constantly wake up and reassess, where am I supposed to be? Where am I supposed to help? What is in my dominion? What is in my domain? And, you know, I feel like God will give you that message. I know he will every day. This is where you need to be, and this is where I want you, my hands and my feet. So
those are very insightful questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know that you are really the epitome of a corporate success and a woman who has climbed to the top, and many women feel a lack of confidence that they can achieve because of a man's world, and you have done that. And even though it was a family business, you said that there were still challenges, and your dad still made you learn in other areas and put your ego aside. So during this last minute, do you have any parting words of wisdom for those women trying to climb the professional ladder and find where they need to be?
It's that check your ego at the door. Honestly, when you walk in, you know, you have to, that's what I would say, because I had walked into that family business. It was pretty much male dominated, and every day I had to say, I'm just as able, I'm just as confident. And things that might be said to you, you have to look, is this hurting my pride, or is this hurting my ego, or is it someone really trying to help me learn? And deciding, you know, usually it's on the side of they're trying to help me learn. So that was a big thing for me. That's what I would say. You got to keep going with where you feel like you need to be, with your talent and humility. And I guess that would be my parting statement. These have been wonderful. First of all, I just want to thank you, Roy. These are fabulous questions. And I, you know, trying to put my thoughts into a statement this has been really good for me too, because I'm not sure that I've ever voiced all of these things that I'm thinking as you're asking these questions. These are great questions.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate
you
for
that.
Yeah, I appreciate you being willing to be my guest and just letting the conversation flow naturally despite our technical difficulties. So thanks, Mary.
Thank you.